Yo, shout out my brother TB. I'm in this thing with TB. I'm with my boy TB. Yo, I hope y'all enjoyed this podcast like I know I just did. Hey, I hope this finds you blessed, and let's get it. Let's go. At this point, I think this is just a journal at this point. Because I keep on not releasing anything. Feeling uncomfortable. Feeling like a part of like I'm not supposed to. But it's pulling me to do these things. I don't know. Today was a great day. I went to the gym. Or I went to work up of always. Got a couple of assignments. A couple of things to hit. This, and this. And I went to the gym. I got very productive CrossFit. It was my last day three of the ordeal. I joined the new gym while I was up here. I guess no mind of music. I'm in a place right now. I was hyper, super emotional. Spiritually emotional, not like this. Crying. It's really spiritual emotion. Don't know why. At all. I'm coming through this right now, and I'm trying to see the picture a little bit. One, please. Oh, this is a great sign. God, you're so amazing. But don't ever forget to pray over your household getting there. It's establishing where you sleep, the presence of who you are, and those vital thoughts of you and your relationship with God, but there's no speaking involved. We're forced to go on a deep dive. And that's why I believe, I strongly believe that your dreams is your passion, your pathway to Him. Figure it out. Where's the wrong in that dream? Figure out where's the bad parts. Not even the bad parts. The good. The places that you are at fault in your dream. I keep reaching for Him. Keep reaching for that hand that is there. Because I tell you, He doesn't stand behind a door. He stands in front of your door. So amazing. He stands right there in the point of you being insecure about your relationship with Him, and He being the person that's 10 toes down for you, about you, because He knows who you are for the kingdom. Like, I totally get why it's so scary sometimes to believe in who He says you are in the kingdom. I strongly believe why it's so worrisome. I see like that. Because it's scary to want to jump off of who you are. It's like a person in debt. Like, in order them to truly get out of debt, they got to recognize they are in debt. And then they have to recognize the number they are in debt from. And they're trying to recognize in what the world sees them as instead of what actually the debt says who you are. So the biggest problem with them is seeing what is already there. But the thing about, like, the greatest thing in the world, you can always pull yourself back around. So if there's debt, there's debt relief. Because how the economy flows, you have to spend money. And once you recognize you're in debt, they automatically try to get you debt relief. Spoiling it in your brain, Dave Ramsey, credit karma, this, and this, trying to get you back in the good graces to spend your money and flow the economy. And I tell you right now, God is the same way. When we truly recognize who we are supposed to be and how he sees us, we can truly walk in the fulfillment of what he says to bring to this world and his to him and his story and him who he is. But the problem is we see what the world wants us to be instead of who he intended us to be. Like in this whole story that I've been reading, Genesis from 1 all the way to the next chapter, flipping page to page, reading line by line. I'll be lying to you. I tried to understand every word. That was a name. I know that in historical facts and historical venues that there is a peace with knowing what you're actually reading. But if you treat this like child eyes, when you're reading any story to a child, when they says the apple loves the carrot, the child is just like, what is an apple? What is a carrot? He understands love in between the apple loves the carrot. Because I love mommy and I love daddy. Right? But, so from page to page, you see the story unfolding. You see how the beginning parts of Genesis, the beginning, the world. Why is there so much focus on this? Why is this like, it's so amazing at the end or the middle to the end. Because you see this change in dynamic, this change in dichotomy. Comedy? I don't know. But you see this changing of the tides. And it puts you in a different realm. Mentally, because you're trying to understand it, because you understand, like, there's the Bible. And if you ever read page by page of the Bible, it is a story. It is. There is a beginning, the end. There is a thesis. There is different parts within some focus and make the thesis whole. In the beginning, there was God. In the beginning. To bring you, what's his mindset? Why is we've gotten this far? Why there had to be a flood? Why after that this had to be this? Why have this nation had to be killed off? This nation has to be this. Just there is a beginning every time. I don't know, but my God is so amazing. Like I said, I am on a spiritual, like, emotional journey right now. The reason I'm like this is because, I don't know, but sometimes I just need to talk it out. Sometimes I need to pray it out. Sometimes I need to dance it out. Sometimes I need to step into his word, into his presence so far deep that I get on a platform and start talking. And like how I do it, how I get into sometimes that emotional realm, I let the worship does it. The Levites do it. God, I love your word. Oh God, you're so amazing. I don't know what these podcasts that I'm doing are for. That's so good. But I don't know what these podcasts are for. Why am I talking or anything like that? But I know there's always a reason. There's always a season for it. And there's always a place that you get your emotions out and start talking. But you have to find that spiritual, emotional side of you and tap into it. Because once it's tapped into, once you get that side of him, it's my fault about my own, it's not every day. But when he is in the room, there's a different peace. There's a different understanding. There's a different place that you have to go mentally, physically, and spiritually to enjoy who he and when he commands the room. Because we think when we walk into a room and we're that voices or that presence beyond presence that walk in the room and feel it. Imagine what he does. Imagine what he puts inside of us. Imagine what he corresponds with what we think we are and who we are. Imagine the mighty world of him, God. No, I am so deep right now in this right now. But as when every time that I feel when I should not be here, when every time I feel that why in this moment did this happen and I'm still here, and people that are more forgiving, more impactful, more willing to give more of them than I was. Why am I still here? I think about the goodness of him that I'm still in my in-between. I'm in the breathless in-between Alpha and Omega. I'm not finished and I've yet and far see that I began. But I understand in those moments of unfilled void, but him in space. Because at the beginning, there's no space but him. And at the end, there is no space because he is the end period. But in the commas, God, I thank God for who you are. Because every car accident I was supposed to die in, every time that I feel like I pass a card and I feel like that. My slew. Why did I start off with my slew of things? Certain things that I really don't like, don't understand, don't agree with. It's this whole tearing down people without seeing the whole message. Like vilifying people and seeing their this, saying they're that, saying they're whatever, without hearing or seeing the whole message and not backing it up with any context or scripture at all. You see one thing and like, oh, automatically, this is wrong. This is this. This is that. This is whatever. And I don't know if I can ever agree with that. You see the things on TikTok. You see the things on like social media, like this guy is evil. One, how do you know? Two, is it your way to judge? Three, there is no three, because if you get past two and saying like, how do you know? And you support it by answer. And the second one, is it your job to vilify or show any type of opinion on another man at all? Your opinion has to be based off of that you are judge, jury, and executioner. And if the thing that you're doing this off of is based off of surely that you don't agree with somebody, and you're calling him this, you're wrong. If it's truly off of what you see and you don't like, you're wrong. Because our job is not to judge. Our job is not to be opinionated. Our job is to tell people and reach people where they're at. That's it. Like, our job is to study the word, get the word in ourselves, speak the word to people, and our lives be a representation of who he is. That's it. I don't know. The whole, so I was watching, I'm on TikTok. And anybody knows me knows my TikTok is like full of random stuff. Like a lot of preacher stuff, a lot of prophet stuff, a lot of like Christian stuff. And then a lot of stuff that's just funny and cool to look at as well. But I can't, what I don't like and what I don't understand is the people vilifying the whole Easter message that transformation is did. The whole, they hate mega pastors and they hate this and they hate that. It has me thinking they would have hated Jesus because he was a mega pastor. Like, he was the one that people flocked to. He was the one that people, like, gravitated to. Once they knew Jesus was there and that once they, like, knew he was doing this, they, like, came to him in droves and foes and everything. And I have a strong belief that these people that out here, like, judging every mega pastor, which you don't know, judging every celebrity, which you don't know, judging every person which you don't know in the same vial of same like thing of like this is wrong, this is like, bro, you like the people that are doing this is not like not helping but causing more people to stay away from God than bringing more people in. Because me being having a strong foundation in Christ, having a strong foundation in how I was raised and stuff like that, when somebody says this is wrong, I go look into the thing. I don't believe anybody. Like, it's the same thing as my preacher says in the beginning, and he started like the first thing was saying was in the beginning. I will have to go look up what's the first thing said in the beginning. Why was the first thing said in the beginning? Why was this said? Why was this, and this? It's because I have to. It's because I have a inkling that whatever's said, and if you quote it, I want to hear context. If you do this, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want all the numerous things of to feel and know that what is he saying is not based off opinion, it's based off fact. But if you start off like, this person is this because this, and this, I have to look that up. I have to see the whole thing. I have to like see the play, I have to see the person, I have to know the person, I have to do this, which is a lot of work for me. And I know people haven't really dialed in to that or dialed into what people believe in or dialed into that person because you can't even touch or see the person. You don't know the person. If many of us Christians focus on our four square blocks of who we are and reach people for where we are and stop caring about what this pastor in 1,000 miles from you said, with this person from like up the street from you said, it doesn't matter. As long as you are representing God into the truest fashion, representing who the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in a true form, based off nothing but your relationship with God and the facts that he gave you in the book, representing that I am flawed, but I want you to choose somebody who chooses people that are flawed. Because a lot of the things, that's why he chose David instead of David's brother. That's why he chose like all these other people instead of the people that was supposed to be right for the job, that was supposed to like stand up for this, to be who everybody thought he was. He chose people that was destined for the path they're on. And to see what the religion of Christianity has become, the people in Christianity. It's the same people. I equated to this. So I love how LeBron plays. I love how he is. I love how he is on the court. I believe he's a really, 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 really great player. Up there in the top 10 of players. I hate the fans. And anytime I hear a fan talking about it, I don't want to watch LeBron anymore. I don't want to be anywhere close up to watching, almost rooting for him to lose. How wild of a statement that is. How wild of a thing that is. But I had to find myself back to, all right, are you doing it because of the people? Because they're saying that he this, but I don't know him. They're saying he's that, but I don't know him. Why don't you just develop a relationship with his game and how he is and how he shows it on the court, things that glimpses that he shows us that he's a great man, he's a great basketball player, and that's it. Once I, when I base this off of that, I love everything that I know him to be, because I don't know the man. I'll never meet him, and that's okay, because he is and made himself to be somebody that is on a different stratosphere of my tax bracket. I would never see his, I won't say never, but I'll, getting up to there is, it will be hard. But I don't understand how people, and I'm not on either side of it. I don't like massively think he's a like this, or massively he's not that. I know for a fact when it comes to LeBron, I hate the fans. Can't care anything less about LeBron. I hope he treats his wife well, treats his kids well, and I hope he loves the Lord. And that's it. That's the end of it. But to hope somebody doesn't succeed, hope somebody doesn't do this, hope somebody doesn't do that, hope somebody this, is not where I stand on him. It's not where I stand on people that choose to be in Christianity, or say they're chosen to be in Christianity. Because my job is not them. My job is to just show the light that he has given me. My job is to show what he is in my life and help somebody along the way. Whether it's one or two, it doesn't really matter, because I know if I can help one or two plus me. Because when he said two or three, when two or three is in the midst of him, something really, really good is going to happen. So my job is to help one and get us in his presence by being the light within what he told us we're going to be. Being the church, being the pulpit in my four square blocks. That's my job. That's my only, like, accusation, is to do that. Is never, I'm talking about never, to judge and be the judge, jury, and executioner. Not even and or, because I can't be all, I shouldn't be, and I will not be, any of those three. It's wild to me sometimes, like completely wild to me. You have to move apart sometimes who you are in the day to day and who you are in the kingdom. And when I say move apart the feelings, the opinions, and the accusations that you feel like is deserving for people that you don't know. Bro. Like, even the people that you do know, you don't know, because people change daily to daily. The person you thought you met yesterday is different than the person you think you're going to meet tomorrow. the person you thought you met yesterday is different from the person you meet today, because feelings, how they're doing, and all the other things, life is lifing, and you want to judge them off of who you thought they were without actually having a conversation, a genuine thing about them, because people change every day. And our job as Christians is to understand that people change every day and understand that we don't fit the narrative of who we think they should be. We fit the narrative of who God says they are. And unless you have that one-on-one talk, unless he's speaking to you about what they are, unless you are a true prophet of God, shut up, please. Like, please, shut up. You are the prophet of vilification. You're not the person who sits down and tells everybody, you're not supposed to do this, so I'm not going to let you do that. You're not supposed to do that. Why are you pointing in so many fingers, bro? Because he said, he who doesn't sin, throw the first stone. He who doesn't have a bad day, throw the first stone. He who doesn't wake up on the wrong side of bed, please throw that stone. Please, he who hasn't ever did anything wrong, please throw it. If you live in a glass house, I let you know something is about to be broken. Because we're not perfect. We're made from untinned soil. And what I mean by that, we made from a foundation that is rocky, never was tended to, and somewhat is giving us the last people that had that land problems. Like, we're made from soil that is kind of like, it's mixed with, there's a little semen over there, there's a little dirt over there, there's a grass stain over there, the weeds over there. Like, the soil is so bad that we have to completely tear everything up about it to actually get good grain into the soil. Because if you know anything about planting anything, if you don't have a great atmosphere so that seed that can survive, it will never. Like there's a parable that there's a farmer that planted seeds throughout his farm, and some went into the dirt and the red depth, some went surface level, some went on the cement, some went this and this way. The ones that's on the cement dried up. The ones that are on top of the soil didn't have enough roots to get in the ground to sustain. It was only that the ones that were in the correct depth got the right sun, the right rain, and all of that to actually survive. And we play on the atmosphere that we think that we are always laid properly in the right soil, in the right depth, in the right, you know, the right sun hit us, the right this hit us. But the problem is, there was only one laid in the right, correct depth, had the right sunlight on him, had the correct amount of water poured upon him. And even he was talked about, oh, that's not gonna grow. You didn't plant it right. Oh, he's not doing things in right. He wasn't watered properly. Oh, he's not this. The sun's not hitting him right. But yet he was perfect. But all of us are either ones that are planted way too deep way too surface level or sprayed upon the concrete. When we actually come to terms with this, we have to dig ourselves out and get rid of the whole dirt, fertile. I don't know if that's the right word. Get rid of the land that we're planting on and actually start turning back the hands of time of the soil that we said that we was planting on. Soil is, I think, the right word. I'm just going to look for it. And actually understand that until we get rid of all the mess, we'll never be planted at the right depth. Because we have to see, all right, there's roots right here. We can't do that right here. There's a little rock right here. We can't do right here. So once we get rid of everything and we start digging through what we need to dig through, we start understanding what we need to understand. That's the only time we can properly get planted at the right depth. I don't know why this is on my mind. Also, like I said, this is like turned into a real journal more than a podcast. But I see nothing wrong. Because sometimes I just want to talk for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes. Sometimes I want to talk. And I don't want it to be like, all right, Tim's just out here talking. I want to talk for the whole month of April. And after the last week of April, I'll just give you all of this. I think that's what I'm going to do. I think that's what he said I would do. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. So let me pray for you guys. Father God, thank you. Thank you for being and sending the person that was planted properly, and letting that person that was planted properly die for my sins, and raise up into the magnificent garden that one seed has done. God, I thank you for understanding. I thank you for who you are, where you are, and what you want me to be. God, I thank you for movement. Because without movement, without a place to put my feet, there would be no me. God, I thank you for places that I need to be, I'm going to be, and I haven't yet understand why I need to be there yet. God, you are the healer, the magnificent warrior, the everything that is just everything about who I need to be. God, I thank you for what you said in the silence. Because within the silence, there is a magnitude of noise. And once I decipher the noise and put away all the nonchalant things, God, the answer would be right there. God, I thank you for the people that you surrounded me with. I thank you for the challenges. God, I thank you for not leaving when I mess up the challenges and I get them wrong. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I love you guys. Peace. Yo, what's up, guys? So I'm sitting out here recapping the whole month, recapping the good things, the bad things, the in-between things, the people I've met, the every facet of what's going on in my life in this month. I got a new job. I ended a relationship-ish. I finish Genesis. And with that point, the things I've learned is your purpose will always be there. Your purpose will sometimes be hidden. Your purpose will be sometimes not taken away from you, but sometimes people see the purpose in you and try to deter you from that. And this whole month, this whole Genesis chapter I've been through, it was a journey from Jacob essentially getting his and his generational and everything off of his brother to Joseph getting essentially sold into slavery by his brothers, and Jacob dying, and they taking him to his place, and then Jacob telling all his sons like what he need, what their blessing is, or what they're gonna be, and that's some hard truth that Jacob had, and Joseph essentially building up kingdoms, and then going into Exodus, where they start talking about Moses, and they start talking about how the people have start being enslaved, because Joseph and the king that he was on under, the Pharaoh he was under, he died, and eventually somebody came to rulership, and he wanted these people to be slaves, and to because they outnumbered them and worked them to the bone. And that's where I'm diving deep in there right now, so I'm not going to give you a whole study of what that is. But this month has been, I wouldn't say overwhelming. It was what it is. It was a journey. It was a everyday, everything, emotional, spiritual, all the things to this journey. The friendships, the relationships, the every facet of it was amazing. I treat every day like it's supposed to. I'm sometimes not living right, sometimes not the person that I need to be, but I accept that every day. At the end of the day, I understand that where I am is not who I am. What I need to be is not where I need to be, is a place that I'm going. What does that mean? So where I need to be is a place that I am actually trying to get, actively trying to get, actively trying to reach for. And if you reach for anything, when you're not an infant in this or this, you're a beginning stages of it, it's far. Like, so glad for the move, so glad for anything, because sometimes I question who I am, sometimes I question where I should be, sometimes I question all of these factors, and I come to the same conclusion. I am where I am because he wants me where I am. Because every decision I make, I make a strong plea to him, like, hey, God, if this is not for me, let it be gone. Let it not be for me. The job opportunities, the relationships, the all of this, if it's not for me, let it not be for me. And I was telling the player who wanted to transfer, I was like, the road we're traveling on, God puts forks in the road. But regardless of which side you pick, now one is probably cleaner than the other. But regardless of what side you pick, he knows on the end of that fork, those roads come together to him. And when you think about it that way, you think about it like in a peaceful way, like if he is for us and you are for him, who could be against us? Who can rival that but us? Because when we catch this fork in the road and we go in the road, this path that we think we shouldn't have went to, and we stray off from the path and go into the woods, the road is always there. He is always with us. And it is what it is at the end of the day. Like, I've fallen short of grace every day. Because the one I'm reaching to, the reason you fall is because the only way you'll get to him is by leaving this world. There was only one man that didn't fall short of his grace, but he also questioned. He was like, hey, God, hey, bro, like, listen to me. Do I have to fulfill this promise? And that's him questioning his purpose. Him. But when somebody else questioned his purpose, questioned who he was, if you are the Son of Man, blah, blah, blah. If you are the Son of Man. If you are. That's not. Once you know your purpose, there will never be somebody that moves you from that. I'll say this. There'll always be people that moves you from it, but once you know your purpose, you are steadfast of that purpose. I'm a coach. Hey, man, you should be far closer to your family. They understand the plight that I have in this world and what I should be and what I should be perceived as. I am what God has envisioned to me. I am a coach. I'm a person that moves the needle. If somebody can connect and build this relationship with somebody, that's what I do and that's what my purpose is. I'm a coach. I reach different states, cities, because the people I've interacted with. I'm a coach. If you are a coach, why aren't you here? That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Here lies where I am, and here is where my feet are planted, and the people that around me, the people in my four square cubit foot of where I can reach, as soon as I make contact with you, I change your life, because my job is to be it where my feet are planted. And my purpose is to connect and build relationship with the people I'm around. It's just great that I have a podcast to share that. But this podcast is also essentially a diary as well, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I thank God for this month and making me be totally aware of what this month brings. As the friendship goes, as the relationships fade, and I get more mature in my older age, and older, I'm 30, calm down, Tim. As I get mature and I get understanding, I know one fact and one thing. Oh, I was meeting with a So my job is to meet with guys and meet with people and meet with people outside of everywhere. So I was meeting with this pastor, and we was going back and forth, and he was like, what do you want? I want these players to see their bigger purpose within the volunteering and the outreach they do. They're more than an athlete. They're more than a person that helps. They're more than a person that's from the hood. They're more than a person that's from the suburbs. They're more than insert anything. And that's how it is, and that's how it should be. I don't know, man. But I hope you guys will enjoy these. I don't even want to know what to call them. I hope you guys enjoy it. I don't know. I pray for you guys, though. Dear God, thank you for a month of understanding. Month of up and down. A month of me not sometimes veering to you. But I thank you for the grace that you have. I thank you for the understanding that you have that I am merely just looking and trying to find you more and more. God, I thank you for the people that are listening and the people that will listen. God, I thank you for their interactions with themselves and finding out their purpose. God, I thank you for where they are and let them understand where their feet are planted, and the people that they're interacting with will change because who they are. God, I thank you for the everlasting peace, joy, and understanding again. And I can't emphasize that enough, God. It's not the understanding of where I should be or the understanding of where I need to be. It's the understanding that I am not perfect. God, I thank you for that and that alone. God, I thank you for the jobs I didn't get. God, I thank you for the girlfriends that I needed to stay away from. God, I thank you for the times that I wanted to go out, but I didn't. God, I thank you for sleep and making me fall asleep when I should have been somewhere else. God, I thank you for Gerald White, which is his birthday today. And I pray that he has a great day, evening, and a time with friends, family, and everybody that's around him. God, I thank you for him, bringing him in my life to pull me out of darkness. But God, I thank you for me being in that darkness to understand who you are and letting me know that you are there. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You guys have a great time. Great time. Like reading this, listening to this. I'm out. I'm gone. Peace. Well, that's it. I hope you guys loved it. It was a journey. And like always, I'm going to be transparent with you guys. But like I said, I'm in this thing with TB. I'm in this thing with myself, man. And I hope you enjoyed this month's ride. So tell a friend that you in this thing with TB. I'm with this thing with TB. Y'all have a blessed day. Peace. Yep.